You know, it's so when Pastor Lee and Naomi asked me to come, I was like, yeah, I'd love to do that because I love seeing what God does in generations. And, you know, I have Pastor Phil here in Glenis, and Pastor Phil was really important to my family's life because he was one of the people who partnered with my dad. There were three of them that would pray. And whenever there was needing a breakthrough in something or they were facing something in the church, my dad would ring up Pastor Phil and he would get him to come and join in prayer. And, you know, the Bible says when two gather in my name, I'm there in the midst of them, and they'd pull down heaven, they'd take authority over the enemy. And really, a lot of the success that God did through Paradise Church and continues to do, because you're a result of that, is because of your hunger for Jesus, your connection, your unity, your loyalty. And my dad always spoke so highly of you, and I want to honor you and thank God for you for all the things that you've done pursuing the Holy Spirit. You're always wanting the move of God, and we honor you and thank God for you. You're awesome. And I am so blessed with Lee and Naomi. Lee was really wild. You know, when he's talking about ratty, he was one of those ratty people. But I saw a young man who wanted God. You know, people thought he was a certain way, and I thought, no, he's actually this way. And you know, they thought he was rebellious, but he wasn't rebellious. He just needed some leadership. And because sometimes the people you think the most rebellious actually become the best leaders. And you know, we spent time playing tennis, and I did that with Pastor Phil too. He was a good tennis player, but he's a cheat, just for the record. He's 100% cheat. He would call every ball out. His eyes were fading, but that'd be out. All his balls were in, but he was very good, actually very good. And I used to love drop shotting him, because what happens is he'd get his speed up and he couldn't stop and he'd go into the net. It was awesome. Lee wasn't a cheat. Lee honored his youth pastor, so he would let me win. And but I'm so blessed to see what God's doing through you. It is amazing. And the best is yet to come. And seeing your son on drums, how cool is that? That's amazing. And, you know, Naomi, she was one of our early adopters as a leader. And she was one of our most successful leaders in running a small group. We always had to multiply it. She always went over and above, because that's what she does for people. She goes over and above. And her hunger for the presence of God, a very cool story. I was talking to David Hall this week, and I was saying I was coming here this morning, and David Hall pastors a great church in Adelaide, and he goes, Naomi is the reason I married my wife. And I'm like, what do you mean? He goes, because David Hall's a Holy Spirit person, and there's no way he's going to marry a Baptist who can't speak in tongues, 100%. And his girl he was dating, she couldn't speak in tongues. And he goes, I'm not going to marry you unless you speak in tongues. And so he sent her to Naomi, and Naomi prayed for her, and she got baptized in the Holy Spirit. So that was the sign. This is the one for me. And yes, you are the result of that marriage. So we honor you. We thank God for you. Thank you for all, you know, what we pioneered together. You know, it's pretty amazing. Out of our youth ministry, I could tell you so many leaders. And it wasn't just because of me. It was because of all of us coming together with a hunger and passion for Jesus. And so aren't you grateful you got good pastors and you got a good heritage in this house? Amen? Well, thanks, Ben. Good job. You did really, really well. You can have a seat for a second if you want. Are you listening to some DJ there? That's amazing. Are you good? Any Geelong supporters here? Phil, Are you a Geelong supporter? Were you a Geelong supporter when you lived in Melbourne? That's why you came back to the promised land. Geelong win everything in football. Anyway, you buy your way to premierships. But anyway. Yeah, let's look at your premiership team. You know, Patrick Dangerfield, Adelaide player. Anyway, let's keep off that. I want you to be with me. Who do you bear it for, Pastor Phil? Who do you? Port Power. You got the power to lose the power. Good old Port Adelaide. Were you a Port Adelaide Football Club supporter before? Sturt. And you went for Port Power because it has power there. You thought, like, that's a Holy Spirit team. I want to, all the Geelong supporters, I like Geelong. Geelong are a good team. They're an amazing team. I just barracked for St Kilda. And you beat us by cheating in that grand final. When Hawkins kicked that point, it was called a goal. Anyway, I've come here for healing this morning. That's right. They're spiritual. Are you a Saints supporter? Who do you go for? The Power. Okay, that's spiritual too. You're from Adelaide? Okay. Oh, you're one of those supporters. Port Adelaide, for those who don't know, is like the Collingwood. Are you Port?
No way.
No, they're like the Collingwood. And you're not in this because you're different than this, but usually they have no teeth. And Port Adelaide Football Club supporters, they're anyway. Better get this back on track. I want to speak to you today on the topic, anoint me with fresh oil. Throughout Scripture, oil represents God's presence, His anointing, His power. Just as shepherds apply fresh oil to their sheep for protection and healing, God pours out fresh oil on His people to renew, to strengthen and empower them for every season of their life. Psalm 92 verse 10 says in the New King James Version, "But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox, and I have been anointed with fresh oil." In Scripture, anointing is a sacred act with a profound spiritual significance. You know, it means to smear or rub with oil, but the spiritual implications go far deeper than this. If you think about the anointing, Exodus 29 verse 7 says, "Take the anointing oil and anoint him by pouring it on his head." It was talking about they were setting Aaron apart as a priest. The purpose of oil was here to set the priests apart for sacred service. It was also there to consecrate kings for leadership. It was also there to dedicate objects for holy use. And it was also to mark a person for a special mission. And the Bible says this in the New Testament, because I hear teaching on, you know, business people are kings and, you know, pastors are priests. No, the Bible says we're both kings and priests. If you're a business person, you're a king, but you're also a priest. If you're a pastor, you're a priest and you're a king. Because a king is a leader and a priest is a minister. And everyone's called to minister and everyone's called to lead. You see, in Genesis 1, it talks about this. It says that God has made it as kings and priests. But David wrote this psalm that you get, anoint me with fresh oil. He was a former shepherd who understood the importance of fresh oil, both in the caring of his sheep and the receiving of God's anointing for his life. Today, this morning, we're going to explore why fresh oil is essential for every believer. It's essential. So why do shepherds anoint sheep with oil? In biblical times, shepherds would regularly apply oil to their sheep for two main reasons. The first one was to protect from insects. Sheep were often attacked by flies, lice, parasites that lay eggs in their noses and their ears, and this caused irritation, discomfort, leading sheep to shake their head violently, rub against trees, and even injure themselves. And in severe cases, sheep can become blind or even die from an infection. So to prevent this, the shepherd pours oil over the sheep's heads, nose, and ears, creating a protective barrier that keeps insects away. The spiritual lesson in this story is just as flies torment sheep, we are often attacked by distractions, negative thoughts, temptations, sinful influences, and spiritual attacks from the enemy. Psalm 23:5 says, "And you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows." So when God anoints us with fresh oil, our minds are protected from anxiety, from fear, and spiritual oppression. They also used to pour oil on the head of the sheep or on the body of the sheep for healing of wounds. Sheep wandered, got injured, scratched by thorns, bruised by rocks, or hurt by other sheep. If left untreated, wounds would become infected, leading to serious health problems. Shepherds often apply oil to wounds as a natural healing agent and preventing infection and promoting recovery. Life brings wounds. You know, the very fact that you're born into pain. You think my daughter now is pregnant with her third child. So I'm going to have four grandchildren soon, and they're all boys. All of them are boys. They thought they'd try the third one to see if they'd get a girl, but they got a boy, and so I think the snip's going to happen after. although my son-in-law, who's Maori, and is an amazing singer and leader and all that, he's supposed to be a tough warrior, wants my daughter to have the procedure instead of him. I said, "No, bro, you're the one who produced seed. You got the one who go cut the anyway." Just for the record, this doesn't work. This doesn't show you're tough. You know, that shows you're tough. Anyway, but you know, I think about. When babies are born, there, you know, I actually learnt this today on the way down. I learnt this today. I never knew this, that babies sleep in their mother's womb mostly during the day because there's movement, so they get rocked. So when they're at night, they're awake. That's why they kick at night. So as a parent, you've got to teach your baby to get out of the day sleep mode and get them into the night sleep mode. So being a good parent isn't just letting them sleep whenever they can. You got to, it's like having jet lag or being in different time zones. You got to teach a child to go into a new time zone. Just some good parent teaching there. My wife told me that on the way down here, actually. She's in Guatemala right now. And I was saying, "Hey, I was coming down to here." And I don't know how we got, we're talking about Amy. And we got on to birth anyway. But you think about a baby. They're in a cocoon, they're in their apartment. All they do is they eat and they sleep and they excrete. But there's nothing there to help them. There's nothing there to hurt them. They're protected. Then all of a sudden, it becomes the push of life. And there they are going down to a great white light. And they come out, and the very thing they're attached to, they get cut from, and they get slapped. So the first thing they experience is pain. Life brings pain. Life isn't easy. You know, some people go, "You know, well, I got hurt in church." Well, as if you don't get hurt anywhere else. We all get hurt. And it's how do I keep my life not getting wounds that become infected? Then I become hurt, and then I hurt people. Hurt people hurt people. That's why I always talk about, and we've always tried to do this, and we're not perfect at it, but always letting your heart keep soft. Keeping a soft heart, strong mind.
not a hard heart, soft head. It's easier to get a hard heart through soft thinking. You've got to learn to keep your heart soft through strong thinking. You know, it's so easy, because what happens is you get hurt and then you get this seed that is there. And if you don't take the seed out, that's why the Bible says, don't let your son go down on your wrath. Don't take your issues into the next day. You know, when I got married, my wife, she thought we were going to cuddle all night. She was like, we're in our honeymoon, and she's like, you know, let's cuddle all night. I'm like, no. No, bed is for a few things. But I'm not cuddling you, because I can't sleep with somebody lying on me. So when we sleep, you go that side, pillow, right? Now, not really. Well, the pillow's not there, but anyway. And then I discovered that in our marriage, that bed was also for talking. We have all day to talk, but we land in bed and all this build up. And you know what men are like, we want to fix things, right? So there we are, and Sam, oh, no, I'm like, oh, yeah. Now I'm awake, because I'm thinking, how am I going to fix this situation? I'm like, please, can we start this like at 12 o'clock in the day? But we decided we weren't going to take an issue into the next day. Because if you do, that seed becomes bigger. And then eventually it becomes a plant, and then it grows to be a tree. And then what happens is when people listen to me, you can be listening to me right now, and you're listening through your heart. You are actually working out what I'm saying through what your heart is like. You know, I've been in church a long time, and I used to be the worship leader back at Paradise, and I would go, come on, let's praise God. And there'd be different people in that room. One would respond like this: you can't tell me what to do. Other response was, he's having a go at me. I'm just saying, let's praise God. Third person, oh, yes, Lord, I want to praise you. How do I get three different responses? Same environment, same word. It's the heart, because you hear through your heart. So that's why I always have to say in myself, you got to let things go. You got to get it out. Don't put your head in the sand and pretend. I'm not a confronting person. People think I am, but I'm actually quite shy. And so, you know, I would take forever to confront something. Even with my own life, I don't like confronting. You know, even I broke my tooth when I was 12 and was supposed to get a root canal when I was like 16. I waited till I was 26. Because I don't like pain, and confrontation is painful to me. Some people love confrontation. I hate confrontation. I run from it. But the truth is, if you got cancer in your body and you don't confront it in the first stage and it gets to stage 4, you got an issue. If you don't confront the seeds, it builds and becomes an issue, and that seed becomes a tree, and then every person you meet, you drop seeds of bitterness and unforgiveness on them. Yeah. Very true. I remember one time we had a staff member back in the day who had a challenging issue, and you know, it became a problem to us. And I was there, and you know, they eventually left, or they had to leave because there was a challenge. And I was there, and I just got into this self-protective mode. And a friend of mine called Glenn Berteau came, and he said, Russell, we are believers. We're not cynics. We believe in people. And the reason why we get hurt sometimes is because we believe in people. So don't let someone's hurt of you stop you from believing in people. So I had to go, God, I need your oil. And I saw, and that person was a youth, it was in the youth department as youth pastor. And then God said, there's your future youth pastor. But if I had allowed this hurt to get up and build, I would have protected my life. I would have said, I'm not believing in people. I'm not trusting people. I'm not going to release people. I'm going to control everything. That's why fresh oil, it deals with disappointment, rejection, failures. See, just as sheep apply fresh oil to sheep, God anoints us with fresh oil to heal our hearts and restore our strength. Isaiah 61 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to comfort the brokenhearted and proclaim that the captives will be released and prisoners will be freed. And the worst thing that ever can happen in somebody's life, if you hold on to hurt. If you're wounded today, God's fresh oil will bring healing and renewal. You know, I've never been touched by God and had an attitude or issue with anybody. When I'm touched by God, I don't go, oh, I hate that person. No, I love that person. All the issues just shift. See, fresh oil represents also a new anointing. In Scripture, oil was used to anoint kings, priests, and prophets. You know, David had three anointings. David was anointed three times, and each time it marked a new level of authority and responsibility. In 1 Samuel 16:13, it says, so Samuel took the horn of oil. Let me talk about David for a second. Anyone who could have a victim mentality, David could have been it. Here comes the big dude in the nation, the prophet. This is the kingmaker. Sometimes we look at the kings, but the kingmakers are the one who had real influence. And so he's coming to Jesse's house. David is not even invited. And there are scholars that say it could be two reasons, or it could be three, but one of them could be he was illegitimate and they didn't want to bring him. He came out of an illegitimate relationship and they didn't want to bring him to the prophet. Another one could have been he was just forgotten about. Another one could be, well, he's not as good as his brothers, so let's not bring him. He's not good. He's not as good as them. Anyway, whatever the reason is, he's not invited. And so the prophet's there and he's like, this guy looks pretty amazing. This looks impressive. You know, God doesn't look at the outside. He looks on the inside. God created the outside, by the way, but he looks on the inside. Yeah. And he's like, this is no, sure. And then he goes, is there another? Oh, yeah, you mean David. So David comes. He could have gone, what's happening here? Yeah. Yeah. He either didn't know about it or he knew about it and he could have lived in rejection. Why wasn't I invited to the party? Yeah. It's not fair. All right, when I become a king, I'm going to remember. Yeah. He could have been a victim. Yeah. He could have let his circumstances, whatever they were, stop him. For the Lord said, this is the one. And the Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day. David was anointed from that day to be the king, but he didn't become the king. Sometimes you're going to get an anointing and you think you're about to become the king. No, there's a process to become the king. In fact, it was the anointing that got him in the palace. He was a good guitar player, good harp player, but it was the anointing on him that got him in the palace. So your anointing will put you in places so you can learn how to rule it in the future. He's there playing guitar and he's got a crazy king, but he's watching how the palace operates, how it functions, how it's the anointing that got him. It wasn't his skill, it was the anointing that got him in there. Then, you know, you think about, and it was his attitude that got him to take down Goliath. You see, he served his dad looking after the sheep and he still wasn't invited. He could have got, now I'm anointed. Could you go take some lunch to your brothers? No, Dad, I'm the anointed one. Hey, don't you know? They weren't picked. They can get their own, they can bring lunch to me because I'm the king. No, David. David went, took the lunch to his brothers, and still they put him down. Who do you think you are? One of the greatest things in Scripture that I saw with David, David comes to that place and he comes in and he goes, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that would defy the armies of the Lord? So watch this. This will help your mind and your heart. He obviously wasn't on social media hearing how big Goliath was. He obviously wasn't in the town discussion on all the gossip that was going on how big Goliath was. You see, Goliath, through the discussion of the soldiers, that they made Goliath bigger than their own God. So he comes in not even knowing who he is. What are you filling your mind with that is intimidating you from stopping you being who God called you to be? So he gets anointed. The second time he gets anointed to be the king of Judah. And then the third time he gets anointed to be the king of Israel. Each anointing equipped David for the next season of his journey. You cannot rely on yesterday's anointing for today's battles. Just as shepherds reapply oil to their sheep, we must seek fresh oil for God every day. See, what fresh oil does is it sustains us in difficult times. A sheep without oil is vulnerable, just as a believer without fresh oil becomes weak and exhausted. Isaiah 40 verse 31 says, but those who trust in the Lord will find new strength and they will soar high on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. When life becomes stressful, overwhelming or spiritually dry, fresh oil revives and strengthens us. If you're tired, discouraged or spiritually drained, seek fresh oil from God. Say, God, I want to know you. And here's the thing about fresh oil. Fresh oil is the place that refreshes you, but then you got to come into agreement and you got to build you. Because so many people rely on just the altar call. They come to an altar call, but they don't altar. They come to the altar and they don't alter. Because the touch is for a purpose. So then you got to come and say, how am I going to renew my mind? How am I going to rebuild my thinking? The touch is to get to open that space and free you, but then you got to replace what is toxic or wrong in our thinking. What does fresh oil do? It brings favor and elevation. Anointing is a sign of God's favor and promotion. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Psalm 45:7 says, therefore your God has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. God wants to set you apart in your workplace. He wants to set you apart in your street. He wants to set you apart. You see, God doesn't want you to live an ordinary life. He wants you to live an extraordinary life. And extraordinary is through His anointing. My mum, I shouldn't say this. I thought I watched my mum on TV the other day because my mum was a feisty lady. She was a kind lady, but she was feisty. And I was watching Pauline Hanson speak the other day and I thought, that's just like my mum talks, right? she was feisty, my mum. Like, she knew the word. But my mum also had a mercy gift as well. And I remember when we moved to 11 Grant Avenue, Gillis Plains, and no one on our street talked to anybody. You know, we all lived for ourselves. And my mum decided she was going to stand out in the street. She was going to let the Evans household be a blessing to the rest of the street. So she started writing Christmas cards to everybody. The first Christmas, she wrote to everybody, every family. From number 11, the Evans family, have a happy Christmas. God bless you. The next year, three people responded with a Christmas card back. By the end of 10 years, everybody was sending Christmas cards to everybody in that street. My mum decided that she was going to find out the needs, if anyone was sick or anyone was having some challenges. And she was actually a bad cook in most things. All right. Flies used to come to her kitchen to commit suicide. That's how bad a cook she was. But she used to make good pavlova, good pikelets. And that's what her specialty. My mum's a missionary, so she cooked like a missionary, except her in those things. And and so she'd find someone sick at 14 Grant Avenue, the Bennett family, and she took food over there. And before long, the street started doing this to each other. You know, she led 10 people to Jesus in our street. One of them became a pastor. And, another one became a missionary. What set her apart was the anointing. So we think the anointing is like Benny Hinn with a white coat and people fall down. No, the anointing, that can be anointing. But the anointing is you going, taking what Jesus has given you to use and going, being an impact in your street to set yourself above, not better, but above what is happening in the norm. See, this world is full of hate. So what sets us above? Love. When David was anointed, it set him apart for greatness. When God pours fresh oil on you, you receive open doors and new opportunities, supernatural breakthroughs, and uncommon favor. So if you want to live in divine favor, seek fresh oil daily. Here's the thing about fresh oil. It requires continually seeking. Shepherds don't anoint their sheep once and forget. They must reapply fresh oil regularly to protect them. Likewise, we must continually seek fresh encounters with God. Leviticus 24:2 says, command the Israelites to bring your clear oil of pressed olives for the light so the lamps may be keep burning continually. See, lamps, God starts the fire. Our job is to keep the oil in the lamp. We used to sing this song, give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning. Give me oil in my lamp, I pray. Give me oil in my lamp, keep me burning, burning, burning. Keep me burning till the break of day. Sing, Hosanna, sing. Yeah. But a lamp will burn out. A lamp with oil burns out. A believer without fresh oil will experience spiritual dryness, a lack of power and frustration. So don't let our spiritual life run dry. Stay in prayer. Stay in worship. Stay in God's word. You know, I think burnout happens because we have a lack of oil many times. You know, hard work, usually people burn out because of emotional stress, pain, something happened, and we need to keep getting filled with fresh oil. God, I need your oil today. I need your oil today because if I run dry, my car stops functioning without any petrol. My engine seizes up without any oil. If you've got an electric vehicle, I don't know how it seizes, but the battery goes after 10 years. So your battery needs to be replaced, and that's good for the environment. So you have batteries flying everywhere that you don't know where to put them. But anyway, that's a whole nother story. yes, all that money we're saving in green energy. Anyway, I'm not against green energy. I'm not. You know, the older you get, the less your filter is. And yeah, my filter has got less and less. I'm starting to say things in church like, oh, I never would have said that before. Lastly, fresh oil empowers us for greater works. Musicians, you can come and make me sound anointed. Even Jesus was anointed with fresh oil for his mission. The fresh oil of the Holy Spirit empowers us to preach the gospel boldly. It empowers us to heal the brokenhearted, according to Luke chapter 4, to set the oppressed free. Acts chapter 10, 38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and he went around doing good and healing all those who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. If Jesus needed fresh oil for his ministry, how much do we? So how do you receive fresh oil? Ask for it. Luke 11, 13. Lord, anoint me afresh. Stay in God's presence. You know, sometimes we complicate life. You know, but when I'm in his presence is everywhere. He's omnipresent, but his manifest presence. When I honor his presence, everything changes. We used to sing this old song. It must be an old song. It's because Pastor Phil was here, remind me of all the old songs I used to lead. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full. Not look at like him, but look full in his wonderful face. And the things of this earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and his grace. Jesus, the Bible puts it this way. When you see him, you become like him. Change from glory to glory. Avoid contaminating influences. Sin and distractions dry up the anointing. And keep pouring into others. The Bible says that you want to be refreshed, well, you refresh others. As we serve God, God refuels us. And so I want us today to say, Lord, pour out your fresh oil on us today. Protect, heal, empower us for the journey ahead. Let's be people who seek fresh oil. And today we're going to sing a song. Probably that second song, that third song. Bevan, you can pick whatever song. You're the man. You pick whatever. I just want to pray for people today. And you want fresh oil. You know, this solid rock, when we in the youth group, we would do this every week. And out of these encounters, it literally changed the world. Literally. I can tell you, out of that youth group, billions of people have been impacted. You go, well, how can you get billions? Just in Planet Shakers Worship, 2.7 billion streams. Just in that. That's just crazy. But I can take you to churches like this all over the world that come out of our youth group. And what happened in that youth group is, God, we just want your anointing. We just want your oil. We just want your presence. Without your presence, nothing will change. You know, one of the things that God has given me the grace for in our Planet Shakers conferences, I've had literally thousands and thousands of people say, I got the calling of God for what I would do in my life at a conference that I attended as a young person or even as an older person. I got a business idea. I got called to ministry. Why? Because of the song, the music and the preaching. That all good, but it was the oil. It's the oil that sets us apart. People will forget my songs and they'll forget my sermons, but they'll never forget the oil that touched them. And we need his oil this morning. So would we stand? We're going to sing. And if you want to say, I got to get some fresh oil for some situation. I need some fresh oil. So I'm going to ask you if that's you. And we're not going to spend a long time because we've got a session coming in a minute. But you want some fresh oil. I want to invite you to get out of your seat and come and stand with me. And we're going to pray today.